A few years ago, my teenage son and I were sitting in a deer blind early one morning. About 20 yards away from us was a feeder which operated on a timer, and at 7 a.m. it automatically dropped kernels of corn in a pan below. Ryan and I huddled together there, talking softly about whatever came to mind. Then we saw a beautiful doe emerge and come silently into the clearing. Now, we had no intention of shooting her, but it was fun to watch this beautiful animal from close range. The doe then ate a quick breakfast and fled. Then I whispered to Ryan, "There's something valuable to be learned from what we've just seen. Whenever you come across a free supply of high-quality corn, unexpectedly provided right there in the middle of the forest, be careful. The people who put it there are probably sitting nearby in a blind just waiting to take a shot at you." Now, Ryan may not always remember that advice, but I will. It isn't often that a father says something that he considers to be profound to his teenage son. But one thing is certain. This interchange and the other ideas we shared on that day wouldn't have occurred at home. Opportunities for that kind of communication have to be created. You must jealously guard the time to make them happen. And I can tell you from where I sit today that every one of those moments is more valuable than the achievements and accomplishments of a lifetime.
Hear more at drjamesdobson.org.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a division of the James Dobson Family Institute. Those of you who are on our mailing list know that I write a monthly letter sent to hundreds of thousands of people, and those letters deal with faith, family, and righteousness in the culture. And we spend a lot of time researching these letters. They're documented. They're well worth reading. If you're not on this mailing list, they're free. All you have to do is call us at 877-732-6825. We'll give that number at the end of the program. Or you can contact our website at drjamesdobson.org. With that, I want to read my September letter to you. If you've already received it, it won't hurt to hear it again. This is what I had to say, and it's done with great passion. The horrible massacre of 31 innocent people a few weeks ago in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, was staggering for Americans. Once again, we witnessed ghastly multiple murders. It's happening regularly with no end in sight. Though it's heart-wrenching to recall, we must not forget the slaughter of 20 precious kindergartners and 6 adult staff members at Sandy Hook Elementary School, or the killing of 12 teenagers and 1 faculty member at Columbine High School, just a few miles from our home here in Colorado Springs. America watched through their tears another brutal bloodbath of 14 students and 3 teachers at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, and a Sunday morning mass murder of worshipers at the Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. 26 churchgoers died there. Another assault occurred in a synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where 11 Jewish men and women were mowed down. Then there was a vicious attack by a shooter standing in a hotel window in Las Vegas, Nevada, where 58 people lost their lives in a barrage of gunfire. Sadly, we could list dozens of more incidents. In fact, 2 more shootings in Texas have occurred since I wrote this letter. It's almost an every month event. It's impossible to overstate the anguish and grief suffered by hundreds of families and friends who have lost loved ones at the hands of wanton killers. And there are even more who are dealing with the trauma and pain of injury, both physical and emotional, stemming from these tragic events. Clearly, America is under siege, and the nation is rightly demanding answers. We all want to know what motivated the killers and how can we stop others from copying them. Most of the explanations put forth by presidential candidates, many politicians, and liberal commentators have been inadequate and unhelpful. I think there's a more plausible answer, even if it is only part of the solution. Though each situation is unique, most of the murderers had one thing in common. They were boys or young men who grew up in dysfunctional families without caring fathers in the home. That's the pattern. That's what Mark Meckler addressed in an article published in Pathos. Here are his conclusions. He starts out saying, yes, yes, and 1,000 times yes. Fatherlessness is a serious problem. America's boys have been under stress for decades. It's not toxic masculinity hurting them. It's the fact that when they come home, there are no fathers there. Plain and simple. Add that to a bunch of horrible cultural trends telling them that everything bad is good, gang culture, drugs, misogyny, etc., and we've got a serious problem on our hands. This problem can't be solved by any policy or any sort of gun control. It is time to have a serious discussion about the degradation of our cultural norms. That was written by Mark Meckler. Suzanne Vinker, in a recent Fox News article, noted that of CNN's list of the 27 deadliest mass shootings in U.S. history, only one perpetrator was raised by his biological father since childhood. She wrote, indeed, there's a direct correlation between boys who grow up with absentee fathers and boys who drop out of school, who drink, who do drugs, who become delinquent, who wind up in prison, and who kill their classmates and other unknowing victims. Vinker also concluded, parental absence and disconnection are rampant in America. Did we honestly believe it would have no impact? Retired Lieutenant General William Boykin said in an interview with Miguel Moreno of the Epoch Times, the fact is we have an epidemic of absentee fathers in the home and a disintegrating family structure in America. It is a major cause for what we see happening in the mass shootings. We have a generation of young people who have no mentors. There is no one to instruct or encourage them or to help them on their path to manhood or womanhood. Psychologist Peter Langman, an authority on school shootings, studied a list of 56 school shooters. He found that 82% of the perpetrators grew up in broken homes with drug abuse, parental absence, and divorce. The National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University found that children living in two-parent families who had only a fair or poor relationship with their fathers were at a 68% higher risk of smoking, drinking, drug usage, and teens having a good, excellent relationship with their dads. The influence of a good father can hardly be overemphasized. Dr. William Pollack, Harvard psychologist and the author of Real Boys, determined that divorce is terribly difficult for children of both sexes, but it is devastating for males. He says the basic problem is the lack of discipline and supervision in the father's absence and his unavailability to teach sons what it means to be a man. Pollack also believes fathers are crucial in helping boys learn to manage their emotions. As we have seen, without the guidance and direction of a father, a boy's frustration often leads to varieties of violence and other antisocial behavior. Whereas girls have a readily available model after which to pattern feminine behavior and attitudes, except where daughters are raised by single fathers, boys living with single mothers are left to formulate their masculine identity out of thin air. This is why early divorce is also harder for boys. Writer Angela Phillips believes, and I agree wholeheartedly, that the high incidence of homosexuality occurring in Western nations is related, at least in part, to the absence of a positive male influence when boys are moving through the first crisis of child development. One of the primary objectives of parents is to help boys identify their gender assignment and understand what it means to be a man. Numerous researchers agree that losing a dad or never having had one is catastrophic for males. 30 years ago, it was believed that poverty and discrimination were primarily responsible for juvenile crime and other behavioral problems. Now we know that family disruption is the real culprit. Despite all the red flags that warn us of the dangers, cavalier attitudes abound with regard to premarital sex and pregnancy, divorce, infidelity, and cohabitation. Don Elium, the author of Raising a Son, says that with troubled boys, the common theme is distant, uninvolved fathers, and in turn, mothers who have taken on more responsibility to fill the gap. Sociologist Peter Carl believes that because boys spend up to 80% of their time with women, they don't know how to act as men when they grow up. When that happens, the relationship between the sexes is directly affected. Men become helpless and more like big kids. These findings confirm my deepest convictions about marriage and children. I have been warning about the implication of family disintegration for decades. I'm convinced that the institution of the family is the ground floor of civilization. Everything of significance to the social contract depends on the stability of that foundation. If it is weakened or undermined, as we are seeing throughout Western culture, the entire superstructure can come crashing down. That is what we appear to be witnessing on every level. All of our institutions are in jeopardy, and the social fabric is clearly unraveling. When that happens, children are the ones who suffer most. Furthermore, because males are inherently more volatile and aggressive than females, the presence of a strong, loving, wise father or father figure is the best antidote to antisocial behavior of all types, which could even include mass murder. In addition to crumbling families, we're witnessing an environment of hate like we haven't seen since the Civil War. It is a recipe for disaster. I believe the future of Western civilization depends on how we handle the present crisis. We as parents are raising the next generation of boys who will either mature to be honorable family men or they will be a liability at home and in their communities. Men are the bridges to the future. Nations that are populated largely by immature, immoral, weak-willed, cowardly, violent, and self-indulgent men cannot and will not long endure. These types of men include those who sire and abandon their own children, who cheat on their wives, who lie and steal and covet, who regularly shout at or beat up their wives and children, who hate their countrymen, and who serve no God but money. That is the direction our culture, including the entertainment industry and the video game manufacturers, is taking many of today's boys. We must make every effort to interdict these dangerous influences and to build within our young men lasting qualities of character, self-discipline, respect for authority, commitment to the work ethic, and an unshakable love for Jesus Christ. The pursuit of these objectives led me to the writing of my book, Bringing Up Boys. It is my cause célèbre. Repeatedly, during my review of the professional literature for Bringing Up Boys, I came face to face with the same disturbing issue. Boys are in trouble today primarily because their parents, and especially dads, are distracted, overworked, harassed, exhausted, disinterested, chemically dependent, absent, abusers, lawless, or simply unable to cope. All other problems plaguing young males flow from or are related to these facts of life in the 21st century. Boys are the big losers when families splinter. At the risk of being redundant, a father holds awesome power in the lives of his children, for good or ill. Families have understood that fact for centuries. It has been said, no man stands so tall as when he stoops to help a boy. An otherwise observer said, tie a boy to the right man and he almost never goes wrong. They're both right. When asked who their heroes are, the majority of boys who are fortunate enough to have had good fathers will say, it's my dad. On the other hand, when a dad is uninvolved, when he doesn't care or love his kids, he creates an ache, a longing that will linger for a lifetime. Again, without minimizing how much girls need their fathers, which we also acknowledge, boys are constructed emotionally to be dependent on dads in ways that were not understood until recently. Let me illustrate this principle further with a finding from the world of nature. Other than dogs, which I have always loved, the animals that fascinate me most are elephants. These magnificent creatures are highly emotional and surprisingly intelligent. I suppose that's why it is disturbing to see them suffering the encroachment of civilization. That's happening in the Pilanesberg National Park in northwestern South Africa. Rangers there have reported that young bull elephants in that region have become increasingly violent in recent years, especially to nearby white rhinos. Without provocation, a young elephant will knock over a rhinoceros and then kneel and gore it to death. This is not typical elephant behavior, and it has been difficult to explain. But now game wardens think they have cracked the code. Apparently, the aggressiveness is a byproduct of government programs to reduce elephant populations by killing the older elephants. Almost all of the young rogues were orphaned when they were calves, depriving them of adult contact. Under normal circumstances, dominant older bulls keep the young elephants in line and serve as role models for them. In the absence of that influence, juvenile delinquent elephants grow up to terrorize their neighbors. Now, I know it's risky to apply animal behavior too liberally to human beings, but the parallel here is too striking to ignore. Let me say it one more time. The absence of early supervision and discipline is often catastrophic for teenagers and for elephants. What are we to do with the social crisis we're facing? Well, I hope I've influenced some overworked guys out there who haven't had time for their boys and girls. When you sit where I sit, you will regret pouring every ounce of energy into business or a profession. Don't neglect these kids around your feet. This might be the best advice you've ever been given. I also want to offer a word of advice to mothers, especially those who are in what feels to them like a loveless marriage. You may be the wife of a good provider, a decent man, and even a solid moral Christian, but alas, he's not romantic enough, and you're thinking about getting out. 70% of those who file for divorce are women, many of them for the reason I've just described. Before you call it quits, think of your children. What is it going to do to those kids, both boys and girls, for you to bail? That may not be what you wanted me to say, but by sharing these thoughts, I might save some women from making a huge mistake. Think and pray hard before tearing your family in two. To the single mother, I want to urge you to find a strong role model for your boys. You're not equipped to teach them how to be a man. Get your boys into a good program that offers Christian mentoring for them, such as Trail Life or a good church program. Find a godly coach or another organization that is Christian through and through. One way or another, you need to locate a good man who can show your lad how a guy thinks and acts, a man of character and courage. He's out there. Ask the Lord to help you find him. For the rest of us, continue supporting entities like James Dobson Family Institute that believe in marriage and are working to preserve righteousness in a pagan world. The LGBTQ movement is closing in on the God-inspired and established institution of the family. I'm telling you, if it goes down, and it very well may, our country will fall with it. This has been a hard letter to write. I hope you found it helpful. God be with you. James Dobson.
Well, this is Roger Marsh, and you've been listening to Dr. Dobson read his newest monthly newsletter on this special edition of Family Talk. Today we covered a very somber topic, but I hope you heard Dr. Dobson's heart behind it. The breakdown of the family has some serious repercussions in our society. Moms and dads must stick together through tough times and actively pour into the lives of their kids as well. The future of the next generation depends on both parents being effective influences in the home. You can order a copy of Dr. Dobson's newsletter, by the way, by calling us at 877-732-6825. And by the way, there's no cost to receive that newsletter. Place your order when you call 877-732-6825 or just visit us online at drjamesdobson.org. Now, when you contact us, remember you can also request a CD copy of this recording as well. Visit today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org and click on the Order a CD button. Once you fill out the information, a polished broadcast CD will be sent to your door. You can get your hands on this presentation or any of our other past radio programs. Simply click on the Order a CD button on the broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. We'll have complete ordering information there when you go to drjamesdobson.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us again next time for a classic Family Talk broadcast featuring Dr. Dobson's conversation with author Jean Lush. They'll tackle the tough subject of controlling and resolving anger in marriage. It's a great discussion that you won't want to miss, so join us here tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thank you so much for listening today to Family Talk, a radio production of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I wanted to take a moment to tell you a little bit about our growing ministry here. This new institute is continuing Dr. Dobson's life work by fighting for marriages and families. It's no secret that our Christian values are under attack, and we must stand up for righteousness and biblical truth unashamedly. We believe this new institute is doing just that. Aside from our Family Talk broadcast, there are three other divisions through which we're continuing this legacy of work. The first one is our educational partnerships with colleges and universities to encourage the next generation. Secondly is the Dobson Policy Center. It keeps you informed on how the political arena influences the family. And lastly is our online collection of all of Dr. Dobson's work in the Dobson Digital Library. We're excited here at JDFI for this expansion. We hope you'll partner with us. Thanks for standing with us, and thanks for being a friend of the family.
One of my heroes is General Douglas MacArthur, who was one of the greatest military leaders of all times. He led the Allied armies through the darkest days of World War II and then on to victory over the Imperial Japanese Army. And then, of course, he went on to assume leadership over the Allied armies in Korea. His surprise landing of troops at Incheon was one of the most brilliant military maneuvers in the history of warfare. These accomplishments on the battlefield explain why MacArthur is revered today, more than three decades after his death. But there's another reason for my admiration of this man. It can be understood from a speech he gave in 1942 after he'd been selected for an award for being a good father. This is what he said on that day. "Nothing has touched me more deeply than the act of the National Father's Day Committee. By profession, I'm a soldier, and I take great pride in that fact. But I'm prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. A soldier destroys in order to build. The father only builds, never destroys. The one has the potentialities of death. The other embodies creation and life. And while the hordes of death are mighty, the battalions of life are mightier still. It is my hope that my son, when I'm gone, will remember me not from the battle, but in the home." Those were the words of a great man.
To find out how you can partner with Family Talk, go to drjamesdobson.org.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute. Our ministry here exists to honor the Lord through ministering to today's families and marriages all over the world. We couldn't accomplish that, however, without your support. And as the JDFI, the James Dobson Family Institute, continues to grow, we need your help. Visit us, will you do that, at drjamesdobson.org or call us toll-free at 877-732-6825. Stand with us and fight for righteousness and culture.
Hey everyone, Roger Marsh here. When you think about your family and where they will be when you're no longer living, are you worried? Are you confident? Are you hopeful? What kind of legacy are you leaving for your children and their children? Here at Family Talk, we're committed to helping you understand the legacy that you're leaving for your family. Join us today at drjamesdobson.org for helpful insights, tips, and advice from Dr. James Dobson himself. And remember, your legacy matters.